that Paul was concerned about. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, everybody, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, we're not going to know the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in us, until we get this prayer answered, that we can have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It's a spiritual reality that reveals the glory of his inheritance in us. In other words, all that is in us is glorious because we are born again, and what's in us is so much higher than we've thought that it is, because we haven't understood it by the Spirit of God. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places. You know, since we're called to be a people of the glory, we've got to learn to work and live in the glory. This means that our lives will not be ordinary. They're going to be extraordinary. Say, I have an extraordinary life. Thank God. It'll be a supernatural lifestyle. It means that we will be in continuous communication with him so that we will know what God is saying and how, what his will is, and what our part is in his will. In other words, it's being hooked in with God. It's getting downloads from God. It's walking with him because we hear from him. Some people express a desire to be used by him and want to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. But though there are many who say they believe that we are to flow in his gifts, we don't often see these gifts in operation, either in American churches or in individuals' lives. Is that true? We don't real often see this. In fact, the way that services are scheduled in many, many churches, there wouldn't be any time, room, or space for any place for the Holy Spirit to move in that situation. So we have to give him room to work. But the thing is, this is because we can only move in that for which we have revelation. If people don't have revelation to move in these things, they can't move in it. They may not even be impressed if they come into your midst and there are gifts of the Spirit moving and flowing. They don't have any revelation on it. But when you have revelation, then you can begin to move. The revelation comes first, which I've said to you recently several times. But get ready. This is the day of revelation.
Yes, it is.
This has been God's desire since the day of Pentecost. That's what he poured it out for us to have a whole lot of what we had a little bit of this morning.
Amen.
God has the expectation this is what church is like. We come together and the Holy Ghost speaks to us and through us. In Acts 2:16. Peter prophesying after the Holy Spirit was outpoured, the people spoke in tongues, tongues of fire sitting on their head, and he said, this is that.
Yeah.
Amy McPherson has a book entitled, This Is That. This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. God has been wanting this for hundreds and hundreds of years. This is it. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. I'll pour my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Not your ministers and your Bible school students. We've got to break the chains of allowing. We've got to allow the Holy Ghost to be free to minister through his church.
Amen.
And all men, and the men shall see visions. Young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my servants and my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. I remember many years ago, we had a, oh, three, maybe two, three, four presbyteries, where David Schock, Leonard Fox, these men that have gone on to be with Jesus now. But they prophesied over us because the Lord had opened that up to them in the revival, the outpouring of 1948. This was never done in your denominational church. This started happening in 1948 when revelation came and people began to believe into it. And I remember that to several people they prophesied over, they said to them, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy in the house of the Lord. And I wasn't even clear on it at that time. I'm talking, it was a long time ago. The Lord hadn't unfolded to us how He wants the prophetic gift to flow. But in this hour, it's going to bring us great edification, exhortation, comfort. And we're going to go on because we keep on hearing the word of the Lord. It's going to keep on keeping us encouraged. I took a little time this morning to go over some of ours, mine, and the church's prophetic words. I have 3 or 4 folders of prophecies, by the way. I've been receiving prophecies a long time. I've got a lot of them. It's really amazing how many of the things have come to pass. The very first prophetic word that I received was from my very first mentor. And it said, "You shall teach and preach my word in many lands, and I will give you favor among a dark-skinned people." The second prophetic word I got was from Robert Tom, who most people never had the privilege to even hear. A great, great miracle-working man of God in the barn loft here. And he starts out prophesying with his South African dialect. And, you know, he says, and he told me later he didn't say it directly to me because he didn't want to scare our people. Because it sent me to the nations, you understand? And so he said, "Now there's a lady here, I'll tell you right now, you know it's got to be done, and God has called you to the nations, but you feel like your feet is in cement. But I say to you today, thou art ready to travel. Get on thy shoes and get going, for God has anointed thee." After the service, he walks over to me and he says, "You're the lady, I just didn't want to say it in front of everybody. You know it's got to be done, but you feel like your feet is in cement." I did. Plus, I didn't know what he's talking about anyway. But it was such a wonderful experience. Those were my first two prophetic words. And so that was in the very early 70s. Peter here was quoting Joel. But you know that Moses expressed God's will back in Numbers 11. 27 through 29. Remember that some of them were there before the Lord, and the Lord gave them a temporary outpouring of the Spirit where that they could prophesy. They got back to the camp, and these two guys with the weird names, Eldad and Medad, were back there prophesying. And the people didn't like it, and they came to Moses and said, "They're prophesying in the camp." And Moses said to them, "Do you envy for my sake? Would God that all God's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put His Spirit upon them." Moses' prayer was answered in Acts chapter 2. Acts 2 was the answer to Moses' prayer. Then Paul expands the words of Peter and shows what happens when His Spirit is poured out on all flesh. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of administration, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom." Now, Paul's just saying, here's what it's going to look like. It was outpoured on Acts chapter 2. Here's what it will look like if people start flowing in it, responding to the Spirit of God. "For to one man is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit." Isn't this exciting? "And another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit." It didn't say to another preacher, to another pastor, to another evangelist. It said to another person. Right. "And to one man and to another man." Also means women, because Philip had daughters who prophesied right there in the book of Acts. "To another, faith. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Why is church so boring in so many places? When all this potential was poured out upon us, and we go and we listen to one person stand behind a pulpit, and some of the people fall asleep and sometimes go home feeling worse than when they came. But all these things work, that one and the selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as he will. All comes by the Holy Ghost. Now, to operate in the supernatural, we've got to learn to flow with the channels of spiritual access, because natural channels don't operate there. You can't bully and push your way into being a spiritual person. It comes through the Spirit of God. It takes more than just confessing and declaring, no matter how loud you say it. There has to be an anointing on. It has to be by the Holy Ghost. There's no access without revelation. Great things have occurred through revivals, as God has begun great things through the years. But due to a lack of continuous revelation, after that revival came, people became stagnant. They had one breakthrough revelation, but they didn't keep letting God and the Spirit of revelation deal and work in their lives. After a time, it's no longer revival, but simply maintaining a certain level of experience that they touched once. Nothing fresh or new happens, and there's not a continuing journey in which God is leading. You've got to have a continuing journey. Just to have a revival, be in a revival, is not enough. Revivals should open up revelation and empower us to begin to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. The revival is to take you, it's to open a door, as Judy has just mentioned this morning. The door is to be open. We're to go through a new door.
Yes. Amen.
Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, listen, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. And he went on to say that he would rather that they would prophesy, all of you. And he also said, and you can all prophesy. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians 14. It's in your Bible. I want to tell you why we lose revival. The Lord showed me this week. I shared a little of it with the prayer meeting on Tuesday. Would you like to know why we lose revival? It takes ongoing revelation to maintain the move of God. The Lord showed me recently why the healing ministries of people like A.B. Simpson and the great Andrew Murray, their ministries and their followers did not continue to increase and become more powerful in the ministry of healing. It began to wane. Here's what happened. There can be a breakthrough revelation and people enter into the experience of it. But it takes the power of the Holy Spirit to maintain the revelation and continue in it. Why? The reason is the devil hates it and the flesh gets weary of it. Oh, I would never get weary. Of course you would. We're lazy. We're self-serving. The flesh cries out, oh, you're killing me. You were dying anyway. What's the difference? I'd rather be dead seeking God than dead for nothing. Amen. It takes the Holy Spirit to overcome the work of the flesh and the devil. Only the Holy Spirit with His power of truth can sustain a revelation and grow it over time. A revelation we have, it's supposed to be, which it's doing right now. Our revelation is growing in this house.
Yes.
But the flesh can't do this, and the devil resists it. So this great revelation of healing that was first given to Dowie, A.B. Simpson, Andrew Murray, a lot of these well-known people, but it began to wane, and the Lord had to redeposit it and re-entrust that revelation, that healing power, by giving a revelation to those who would sustain it. So it got transferred to Azusa Street. The revelation of healing got transferred to Azusa Street where there would be the foundational revelation of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with fire, with power, with the gifts of the Spirit. You can't sustain a healing move without it. I got so excited when the Lord showed me that. Judson told me once about a denominational church that asked him to come to their church and teach on worship and bring the people into worship. I said, you're going to bring people into real worship without their even having the baptism of the Holy Spirit? He said, well, you know how that denomination is. They always want to do everything the hard way. You can't really come into prophetic worship without being in the prophetic flow. So you'll never go any higher in the worship. It's okay, it'll be good. But it won't be where you want to go. It got transferred to Azusa Street and John G. Lake and Maria Etter and Amy Simple McPherson and some of these people, because they had the revelation and walked in it and continued to increase in it. I read where some people criticized Amy McPherson because after she'd been in ministry for a while and had built her temple and everything, she went to some Pentecostal meetings that didn't suit them. They wanted, apparently even in her own church, there were people that wanted to be the old guard. Don't go any further. Don't get any more revelation. How many of you would be willing to have more revelation?
Amen.
In the prophetic words that I got, there were two or three that said, don't be afraid of new wineskins. One from Heidi Baker was not that long ago. Legacy, legacy, legacy. This is a church of legacy. And you're to continue to move on and to impart this to others. This full gospel reality to others and not go back. Because people do go back. Now through the spirit of revelation, God's spirit keeps us connected to his thoughts. And his heart for us and for Jesus. Through the spirit of revelation, God manifests himself to our understanding and our spirit. You remember when Jesus said in John 14, 21, he that hath my commandments and keeps them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. He's made this promise. Those of you that will walk in his commandments, that's just talking about being obedient and keeping them and keep on loving him. We showed him that we loved him today. Those people are going to be privy to the manifestation of Jesus. To them, I will manifest myself. Then in that same passage of Scripture, he immediately tells them it will be through the work of the Holy Spirit and how he will reveal things and show them what is to come. People, there's just a lot of carrying on today about what is to come. The Holy Ghost will show you. If the Holy Ghost doesn't show you, you can get in a lot of trouble believing people. You can get into an uproar. You can do a lot of unnecessary things. You can lose a lot of sleep unnecessarily if you believe what the futurists have to say, what the politicians have to say, what the intellectuals have to say. Believe the Holy Ghost. He's the Spirit of truth. I'm not a bit worried about it because I know that I'm here to be a light shining in the darkness, no matter how dark it gets. Some people are always, you know, just want one more impartation. But the thing is, it takes more than impartation to hold on to a truth. Without revelation, impartation will not remain in our spirits. If you don't know what you got, you don't know what to do with it. If you don't know how to keep it, it won't last because the seed snatcher will find a way to take it from you. You've got to have revelation. There are people who received impartation in our revivals. Sat in the presence of God for months and months and months. Received things imparted they'd never had before. Could prophesy, could write songs, could have the gift of faith, pray for somebody and they'd be healed, all kinds of impartation like that. But let me tell you something. Everyone that walked in those revivals, and we've had two major ones here, but everyone that walked in those revivals have not continued in the truth that we knew, and they haven't continued in the practice of the truth God gave us. But those who had revelation, do you see it? Those that had revelation, it is dear to them, and they wouldn't give it up for anything. And they know that everything they need comes from being in the presence of God. I'll tell you, the flesh will get weary of it, and the devil will fight it all the time. I thought the Lord showed me recently there's three ways people respond to prayer, the truth of prayer. You embrace it and do it. You ignore it, or you resist it. But you'll respond one of those three ways. I highly recommend number one. But because these people didn't allow the Spirit of Revelation to do His work, they began to look at things through their own intellect. And they began to analyze. And then began sometimes even to criticize. Or to say, the flesh then said, you can do this in an easier way. I told you that that's why I joined the particular Methodist church I did. Because I thought I could get to heaven easier. But He got me anyway. If you keep seeking Him, no matter where you are, He's going to get you anyway. You can't make it easy. You got to let Him take you the way He's going to take you. Remember, the Lord showed me that it takes the work of the Holy Spirit to keep us in the revelation of the revival. And so unless people continually allowed the Holy Spirit to work in them and reveal things to them, they didn't have the empowerment. The flesh can't do it, and the devil will rob you of it. You've got to keep walking in the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Most Christians will say they believe in miracles, but they're not flowing in them. They lack revelation, which combined with the spirit of wisdom gives access to the supernatural. The Spirit of wisdom will show you how to manifest God's power. I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Montalnado said that Oral Roberts, that he had several audiences with Oral Roberts. Our own Sandra Kennedy has, and some other people that I know, Oral Roberts spent the last years of his life pouring in and parting to other people that he thought had healing ministries. And he said that Oral Roberts told him that God gave him a healing gift, but he said to him, and this is where wisdom comes in, he said that the sign of anointing in his hand is what would show him when it was God's time for him to go out and minister to the people. And he prayed and worshiped God until that sign came. That's wisdom, to use the gift. If you have the gift and you don't know what to do with it, you still won't work in miracles. You won't flow in healing. During the river revival here, and I will say that started with us in 1994. It's kind of amazing. It was after Toronto, but it was before John Kilpatrick's outpouring. And it was about the same time of the one at Olin Griffin's church. So God was moving like this everywhere. It was so wonderful. And we had this song, we had the river song, you know. And the river is here. We sang it and sang it. We danced until we nearly dropped dead. Because the river was here. The river came in our midst. And for a full year, He manifested all these wonderful things. And there was especially wonderful healing of the emotions. And various other things where people said, I have a relationship with Jesus now. I never had one before. I remember one man in our church was a doctor, and he was just lying out in the presence of God, and I walked over to him and he smiled and said, oh, the colors, The colors. I've never been here before. It's so wonderful to hear rational people start talking like that. What the Lord showed me during that time is that I would have a certain sign that would come in my hands. And when that would happen, that I should pray for people. And he was visiting the way he was visiting so many places in revival. And right when I would begin to pray for people, they would always all fall. There was such a connection there with the power of God. There would just be a lot of falling. The people would try to get me to pray after the anointing had lifted, or to just do things that were outside the realm of how that anointing was flowing. It was a gift. By the way, he said to me, "It's not your ministry, by the way, it's mine. It's my ministry, and you will use it exactly the way I will give you wisdom to use it, and not any other way." See, this is the thing. Paul prayed that you can have the spirit of wisdom and knowledge. That you can have wisdom and knowledge, that you can understand, that you can know Him. This is how He's going to open up now in this hour we live in. He's going to communicate with us like we've never communicated with Him before. You know, there are people that don't know what they have. There's an amazing thing. Many denominations that were very successful and very powerful when they started out, they wouldn't dare use the term apostle or prophet, because those died out with the apostles. That's their doctrine. And the very ones who are apostles probably taught that. You know what I'm saying? Listen, if you had mighty power and if you brought people to Jesus and there was a great following and great revival and then there was a work established, you were an apostle. So don't say that they're not any. And the prophets, the men and women who helped to bring that work together, they were ministering in the prophetic, whether they called themselves, they didn't have enough revelation to know what to call what God was doing and how it should be applied. This, the week, I want to tell you this, how I believe when the Lord started setting in for what He's doing now in our midst. The week before our week of prayer and fasting, that would have been late December, the Lord spoke to me at 7 o'clock one morning, and He gave me clear direction and showed me that He wanted me to have a long conversation with Him. It's still going on. And He wanted it in the evening, not in the morning, which had already been my prayer time for years before anything else, in the morning. I'm still having this conversation with Him every evening. It's really quite wonderful. It's in a different realm. When God gets ready to take us somewhere else, He first of all says, "I want you to spend some time with me. I want to talk to you. I want your ear to be open to hear me." He showed me this and He said to me, "As you've dedicated every morning to be with me in prayer, and I have allowed you to pray for your friends, the church, or yourself, or anything that you want to pray for. But I want to meet with you in the evening, and I want to tell you what's on my mind." I think He was saying in the vernacular, "We found out what's on your mind for a long time." I just like it so much. He had given me liberty to pray about people in the church and whatever, but now it was time for me to hear His mind in the evening. You know, Jesus said, "I do nothing but what I see the Father do." And what He wanted to do was to show me what He wants to do. And what He wants us to do as a part of what He wants to do. You know, in Genesis 3, 7, and 8, Adam and Eve, they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Before this, they had been meeting with Him and loving it. But now, because there had been disobedience, there had come a breach. And they were hiding from God. But the Lord wants to restore that unbroken communion. And I felt that He spoke to me, it will be like that, the restoration of what Adam lost. I want you to come to me in the cool of the day, and I want you to hear my voice walking. That's what the scripture said, they heard the voice of God walking. And I want you to begin to hear my voice in a fresh, new way. He wants to restore unbroken communion with Himself, and that's why the last Adam, Jesus, has made the way for us to be in continual communication through the works and gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not just you praying your prayer to the Father in Jesus' name, though we are to pray that way. But He also wants to pray, He wants to speak to us through the flowing and working of the gifts of the Spirit. In fact, it's amazing, all of the gifts have to be backed up with a relationship and communion with Him. It's all about relationship and communication. The gifts enable us to communicate the purpose and power of God. Jesus said, what does this mean? My sheep know my voice. Yeah, how many of you sitting here today, you're born again? Let me see your hand up. Yeah, I'm saved. I know Jesus Christ. Then the scripture says, you hear His voice. And if you're having a little bit of difficulty with hearing like I am right now, the last couple of days, I thought, man, this reminds me of the way we have problems hearing from God. I put a little alcohol in it the way my doctor told me to. And the first night, it woke me up banging around. Bang, bang. It was popping around. And it still didn't go, so I did it again. That time, it didn't bang. It opened up. Wow. I could just hear everything. Did that four or five times, then it closed up again. And I thought, this is the way we are hearing from God. First of all, we're hearing banging and rattling. Hey, I can hear God. Woohoo! And then after that, we might have experiences where, wow, I heard that clearly. I want you to know that you're not perfect. None of us are in this area. But I believe that God is going to show us how to open up our ears. Yeah. He that hath an ear, let him hear. He wants us to hear Him with our ears. And the flowing of the gifts of the Spirit is one of the ways that we're going to hear Him. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
Well, that's how Jesus provided it. These are the ascension gifts. That when He ascended into heaven, He gave gifts to men. And He gave the apostles, prophets, and his pastors and teachers. And then He allowed the gifts of the Holy Spirit. By the way, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are what He gives us along with the baptism. So Jesus gives the gifts. And that's because He wants to talk not only to us, but also through us. I'm so glad Eddie had that word today. I'm so glad that God let that word be spoken and that there could be ministry. Well, the very least that happened was that we all got the opportunity to direct our faith to believe God for what needed to be done there. My sheep know my voice. He wants us to prophesy, so that means that we can hear His voice. Think about it. If He wants you to prophesy, then He figures you can hear His voice. Because prophecy is going to be you're hearing from God and you say it to someone else. So therefore, of course, we can hear the voice of God because He tells us to prophesy. And Paul said, I wish all of you could prophesy. He was bold. He was wild, wasn't he? Everybody prophesying, everybody speaking in tongues. You talk about having church that's not boring. Wow. It's time to learn how to hear God's voice. You know, the gifts I remember. When we first came into the things of the Spirit. I don't know if you were like me, but I was in a denominational church, and because my mother was Pentecostal and took me when I was a child, I knew something about the gifts of the Spirit. But when I found that there was something very clear and understandable that we could know about the gifts, I was thrilled. I was elated. Wow, what in the world? There are 9 gifts of the Spirit, and there are gifts of utterance, and there are gifts of power, and we have these different kinds of gifts, and the Scripture tells us how to flow in these gifts. This is absolutely marvelous. The word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits are called the revelation gifts. Tongues, interpretation, tongues, prophecy are called gifts of utterance. Gift of faith and gift of miracles are gifts of power, gifts of healing. But you've got to be able to hear God to function in any of these gifts. And we've got to use the gifts only as God wills. I just jotted down 3 little things that came to me. That these are the 9 gifts, the 9 gifts of the Spirit. I remember people like Donald G. and some of these older Pentecostal people back in the, would have been, say, 40s. Way back in there, they had this all cataloged. It was great. It put it all together in a box. Never dawned on us that they put it in a box so that we could take it out and throw it around everywhere. We just left it in the box. And we taught it. Here they are. Here's what they are and here's what they do. Well, somebody do it. Let the Holy Ghost do what He wants to do. And these 3 things came to me. Number 1, you must be able to hear God to function in any of the gifts. And we've got to start listening to God.
That's right.
And hearing God. I want to tell you something because I'm afraid I'll forget this. You need to know this. Scripture says we prophesy in part, doesn't it? We prophesy in part and we know in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall be done away. All right, we don't know everything. We don't understand everything, but what part God gives us, then we bring that forth. And Sean Bolts tells about Bob Jones prophesying very negative things about Los Angeles. Well, I have to say, I've been to California a lot, and I really do like California. I don't like a lot of things that go on there, but it's a beautiful place. So anyway, Sean Bolts felt of the Lord that he was to go to California and establish his ministry there in Los Angeles. And Bob Jones stood against him. This is wrong. You'll ruin your life. Don't ever do that. No, boy, this is a mistake. And Jones was one of his mentors. So he told him, I love you very dearly, but I've got this so strongly from God. I feel I'm supposed to go. So after 3 or 4 years, and Bob Jones, you know, Bob Jones asked him when he first saw him after he'd been there a year or 2, well, how you doing? He said, just fine. And Jones said, really? And so then after he had been there just a few years, Sean Bolt said to him, you know, Bob, I think the Lord has shown me something. You had a huge rejection in the city of L.A. by people that you were trying to minister to, and you were deeply, deeply hurt. And you have a bitter thing. Now, here's the mentee talking to the mentor. That's not easy to do. And because of that, you can't prophesy anything good about Los Angeles. But he said, it's wonderful what God's showing me that I'm going to be doing in Los Angeles. And here's the amazing thing. How many of you know we have a ministry here called So-So? Does some of you know that? 3 of you. Let me say it again. How many of you here know that we have a ministry called So-So? Because I really want to know. Okay, that's a good number of you. Well, it's a ministry that we have that helps people get free from things of the past, like PTSD and things like that, and gets them out in a new place where they can be free to live their lives. I'm telling you, the things that have happened to us and the way that we've reacted can hold us back the rest of our lives, or we can get free from it. So they took Bob Jones to So-So. You don't ever get to where you're so great you don't need to dig down a little bit deeper and get anything out of you that causes bitterness or judgmental spirit.
Right.
We've got to be free from every single thing. I love this. I wanted to say this to you. The scripture says, faith that comes through love. And Paul, right in the beginning of 1 Corinthians 14, said, pursue love. Because he's done a whole message on it in 1 Corinthians 13. The whole chapter is about love. So he starts out 1 Corinthians 14 and he says, pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but covet to prophesy. You know that's in your Bible? Okay. And it could be that what holds people back from coming into these gifts, the prophetic or any other of the gifts, is a lack of love. Because he didn't say, go after these gifts, have at it. He said, pursue love. And vigorously desire. Isn't that a great balance? You can vigorously desire the gifts of the Spirit if you're not going to bang somebody over the head with it. Or you use it judgmentally. You can scare somebody who trusts you. The Lord showed me. I'm so thankful that God did give me discernment early in my ministry. Otherwise, I'd believe some of the crazy things that people have brought to me in supposed prophecy. But by the way, I'm going to minister some on these things so that we'll know how to flow and not be afraid and be free. Because, you know, we need edification, exhortation. We need these things and comfort. And that's what the prophetic word brings to us. So secondly, we must use the gifts only as God wills, because the scripture says they are distributed by the Holy Spirit as He will. And they are not your gifts. The third thing is, it's His ministry. Always know that it's His ministry. You know, somebody called me recently and wanted to know if I would talk to them about my book, Prayer in Another Dimension. And but they have a ministry where they do conferences in Africa. And they get these conferences together. And my thought was, I'll be glad to talk to you. But God has to do something different before I can be a speaker in your conference. It could be all they want to do is to talk to me. But this always comes up. And here's what I've said to God. Anytime you want to release me to go further, I am yours to do it. That I can't just say, well, I've had my fill there. I had some problems there. I'm not going to do that. It's His ministry. One of my prophecies said, consider very carefully any invitation that you have to go to Africa. We've got to learn how to hear God and how to flow in the gifts in order to minister in the glory. Let's connect back with, what do we name this today? Ministering in the glory. In order to minister in the glory, we've got to learn. Everybody say learn.
Learn.
How to flow in the gifts in order to minister in the glory. That is the supernatural lifestyle. And I'm thinking about this, that as the Lord was speaking to me concerning this message, and I looked at those prophetic words about the new wineskin, I got that word at least twice, maybe three times. Don't be afraid of new wineskins. And one of the things that He said to me through a prophet in not Jamaica, but the other place. Where's Port-au-Prince? Trinidad. Yeah, thank you. It's that one. Trinidad. And I was ministering in Trinidad. And it was really a very encouraging word. It was truly a very encouraging word. But He said, the Lord is going to begin to take you places and show you some things that everybody's not doing, or it might be like a progression of something that He's going to show you. And don't get hung up in thinking, will they believe me? Or will people be willing to walk in it? Just bring it. I honestly think that that's for now. Although it came a few years ago. This is the time. What the Lord called us to do in the beginning, it was the craziest bunch of people you'd ever want to meet that started this work. Crazy. Just do absolutely anything. Sold their homes and gave the equity out of their homes and taught in our academy for years and years without a dime. Just crazy. Why? Let me tell you. When revelation comes to you, you start hearing from God. It puts you in a place where, since you know now what God wants and you understand better who God is, no price is too great to pay to continue walking in the thing that God wants you to be involved in. That's what happens. The revelation comes first. And then you are willing to step out and do whatever that is that He's calling you to do. I'm very excited about what God is getting ready to do. Amen. For each of you, for our church, for our services, for our prayer meetings. He is just, we had the best prayer meeting Friday night. It was just such a good prayer meeting. And they're just getting gooder and gooder all the time. Because the presence of the Lord is becoming stronger and stronger. And I felt of the Lord today to take you one more step. So I want you to stand together. And here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to come forward. Because I want to pray for us as a church to receive that revelation. To come into this next place that God has for us. You know, it's really... This is why people get so worn out with church. Nothing ever happens. Do you know that? Nothing ever happens. And so instead of leaning into the Spirit and finding out what it is God would do to make it exciting, they do things like ride a motorcycle down the aisle of the church. Well, I don't think that's exciting. Do you? I've ridden, yeah. But we had a man, I also know of a man in a denominational church in our area that did this. Because I guess he thought if Amy McPherson could do it, he could do it. But you know what? I got a feeling that the Lord led her to do that.
Right.
And sometimes certain things are done, and we think we can do that thing. But God can do things, He can do things really different here and with us. Did you know that? I mean... However He wants to do it, that's okay. You know, churches kind of have personalities. And it's whatever your people are like, whatever your pastor and your leaders are like. You don't have to do it just like some other place does. But it's just so good to know that the important thing is you step into the revelation of it. And then that makes you willing and excited about going with whatever the thing is that God's going to do next. So if that's your desire today, I want you to just lift your hands and I'm going to pray for you. We're going to come into this as a body of believers. I believe that there's tremendous power in just calling on God and saying, Lord, this is what we want. We want this. We're open to this. Now, Lord,